Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big
money at Menards. About how to fix a broken heart with Guy Winch. Good afternoon, Guy. How are you? Guy, you there? Can they hear me?
I can.
Yes, got you. Lovely. Okay. Right. So we're talking about how to fix a broken heart. Guy, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So thank you very much for having me on the show.
Absolutely fine. It's great to have you on. And this came from a scene, a TED Talk, and we like our TED Talks on this show. And really, that was our introduction to you and to what you're talking about. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I played the Bee Gees song there, How to Mend a Broken Heart. And we think about it as being this kind of emotional, romantic feeling of brokenness, and yet it goes far beyond that.
Yes, there are all kinds of broken hearts. And in the book, I write about two. One is romantic heartbreak, which we are all familiar with, at least in theory. And the other is the heartbreak that happens when a cherished pet dies, because both of those can cause significant grief reactions, but they typically don't get the respect or acknowledgement other kinds of grief get.
Hmm. And again, it's something that we all go through this at some point in our life, and we always assume, because of music, I suppose, a lot of it we're influenced by music, that a broken heart is always going to be about a lover that spurned us or gone away. But in many ways, we can experience these feelings, as you mentioned, in other areas of our lives.
It's really a response. A broken heart is basically, psychologically speaking, a response of grief. And just as there are many kinds of grief and loss, there can be all kinds of heartbreak. Some people feel heartbroken, and truly so, when their favorite sports team loses a championship. And some people think that's very different.
I know that feeling.
Heartbreak,
yeah.
That's romantic. but there are all kinds of broken hearts, and they can impact us in a whole range of ways, from mildly to extremely severely.
And also, we kind of view this as kind of psychological, emotional stuff, and it's not really as important as breaking a leg or facing some sort of disease that you may be going through, which is medical.
I think it's actually much worse. You know, when you break a leg, I haven't broken a leg, but from what I hear, it's a pretty sharp pain for a short amount of time. But when your heart is broken, especially when it's significant, then you feel a significant amount of pain, and not for moments, but for hours and days and weeks and sometimes even months.
Yeah.
And if you ask people which would they prefer to choose, a broken leg or a broken heart, I think the vast majority of people would opt for the broken leg.
What are we feeling when we use that term broken heart? And actually, it is just a term, because obviously our heart physically is fine. It's just a way of describing how we're feeling, I suppose. But I know I've been through a relationship breakup many years ago, and I felt low. And maybe the word which was coming to me about how I felt at the time was rejection, because I felt I was rejected.
So that's one ingredient in a huge salad of ingredients. And I would say that the rejection feeling is significant, but it's not the largest one. And in fact, when I did the research for the book, there's a lot of neuroscience about what happens to us in heartbreak that actually is very, very informative. One of the studies found that the experience of physical pain activates the same emotions in the brain, areas you see in the brain that get activated when we're feeling emotional pain from heartbreak. The two look almost identical in terms of the brain. And that is why we experience heartbreak as so painful, because it really mimics significant physical pain, even in the brain. And so that's a big factor for people. For some people, they are so much in emotional pain when their heart is broken, that they cannot function in any way for days on end. They can't get out of bed. They can't brush their teeth. It is that severe, the impact heartbreak can have on us. And I understand yours was bad, but not terrible from what you're saying. There can be versions of terrible, and they're quite common.
Yeah. Is it that the feeling of loss? Is that just another ingredient in the salad?
That's a big ingredient in that salad loss. I think it's the one of the big ones, because we really do have a loss, and not just of the person or of the pet if we lost a pet, but of the life we had around that person, of the sense of identity we had by being in a couplehood and in a partnership, by the loss of all the people that went with their side of their social circle, all the activities we would only do together, but I'm not going to do by myself now that I'm broken up with. So the loss is profound.
And I suppose loneliness comes in as well, doesn't it? I was watching your TED talk, and you talk about loneliness because from the perspective, you were waiting for a call from your brother, is that right? And a few years ago, and you experienced a real down moment in your life.
So the loneliness is an interesting thing, because what happens to us when we experience it is it distorts our perceptions of our relationships. And we come to believe that even our strongest relationships aren't that strong. And the example I gave was, I have an extraordinarily strong relationship with my identical twin brother.
Yeah.
But I left to do my PhD overseas. And after being away for 10 months, and this is pre-internet and pre-cheap phone calls, our birthday came around and he didn't call me. And I was so upset. I really figured, well, you know, he just doesn't care as much because I've been away for so long. And then I woke up the next morning and realized they had kicked the phone off the hook. And at the time, you couldn't get through if your phone was off the hook. And when I called him, or when we finally spoke, rather, he was furious with me. And he said simply, but if you saw I wasn't calling, we're twins, you know, why didn't you just call me? Mm. And I was so busy feeling hurt that he didn't, because of the loneliness. It never occurred to me to call him, which obviously I could have done. And that's the distortion. In other words, and he said to me, you actually believed that I wouldn't care enough to call on the birthday we do share, for goodness sakes? And he was, I mean, I felt so stupid. But that's what loneliness can do.
Absolutely. And I suppose how, when we face heartbreak, and maybe people are, maybe some folks listening today in the middle of something at the moment, it's great to look back on, because 2020 or hindsight vision, hindsight's a great thing. But at the time, we don't actually know, I don't think generally, how to deal with it.
Well, that's the thing. And this is, I guess, the main reason I wrote the book. I also have a private practice. And every patient I had who was heartbroken would only think of two things to do: time, wait it out, and talk to your friends, get, you know, social, emotional support. And that's fine, except there's so much research out there that tells us about all these other things we need to do, and actually quite a gaggle of things we shouldn't do, that we need to avoid doing, but they're going to feel very compelling to do, even though they're not the good idea.
So yeah,
there are actually ways to get through this with a little less pain, much more quickly, with less damage, if we follow the right ingredients, except no one had translated all this research into actual practical steps. And so that's why I decided to write the book and say, no, there's more we can do. Time helps, yes, emotional support helps, but there's more we can do.
Because we know quite a lot now about our physical situation, or maybe not as much as we think we know. You know, if we have a headache or if we feel that we need some medication, we kind of know where to go, don't we?
And yes, I mean, to me, the gap is we're light years ahead. I think we're where we are psychologically, where we were in terms of our physical health, really 100 years ago or more. I mean, if you think about it, if you get a cut, most of us can tell, is that enough with a bandage, or maybe I need to get a stitch? We can usually tell the difference. We can certainly tell the difference of, I probably need to go to the ER right away, to the emergency room, because that's going to require some stitches. We can diagnose cuts to that level of specificity, right? We don't even know when we're feeling rejected most of the time, unless it comes with heartbreak. We don't even realize that we're lonely a lot of the time. We don't even realize we're depressed a lot of the time. Our sophistication psychologically is so much more primitive than our sophistication in terms of our physical bodies, and we really have to focus on closing that gap.
In your experience, do you ever come across people who just don't want to get better, you know, kind of wallow in the loneliness or heartbreak, because it's almost becomes their identity or a comfort to them? Is that something you've come across?
Yes, there's something I think we've all come across, but those people are also very likely to wallow in their own physical you know, misfortune. Yeah. You know, like, oh, you know, I know people who, you know, they're told that they had a heart attack and they really need to lose weight, or they'll have trouble ambulating and getting around, and they're like, you know, sit in a wheelchair feeling very sorry for themselves, eating things they really shouldn't be eating at that point. You know, so the people who don't want to do the work to get better. And I want to be clear about this. You know, there are no real shortcuts in psychology, in the sense that getting better requires a lot of determination. It requires a lot of, you know, like real will power, like going through physical therapy. It hurts and you have to go and work on things all the time, but it works out better in the end. You do get stronger. It's the same here. It's not that easy, but we need to be informed that the investment, once we know where to invest, is very much worthwhile and has a very big return on our investment.
And does your book go into kind of ways to deal with heartache and heartbreak?
Yes, and I, you know, in the book I tell a lot of stories, because I think it's important to illustrate psychologically how to apply things by going through examples of people who've done it and how they have specifically applied, and, you know, give the examples of here's how somebody else did this and here's how another person, now you have a better sense of things to do. But there are steps we need to take, and like one of the things I will say in the most general sense is, if we want to get over someone, well, what does that mean? What's the definition really of getting over someone? And people can have different definitions, but in essence, what it generally means is that you don't think of them as much anymore. Mm. They're not in your head all the time anymore. And when they are in your head, they don't hurt as much when they're there anymore. It might be a little bit of an ache, but it doesn't distract you from being able to go about your life and do the things you need to do. So the goal, therefore, is have them in our head less. Think about them less. Over time, diminish their presence in our thoughts as much as possible, because that's how we'll be able to get on with things, right? Yeah. It'll be impossible to do at first, but over time, that's the right thing to do. So people need to ask themselves, so this impulse I have right now to go cyber-stalking through their Instagram account, is that going to make me think of them less or more? Is that going to give me more material to be upset with or less? And we don't ask that question, but that's the kind of question we need to ask when we feel compelled to do something that's going to set us back.
Well, it's fascinating stuff. And I wondered also, you know, if you break a leg and you don't get it treated correctly by the hospital, and maybe you don't go and have it properly put back into place, you will heal, but you'll heal incorrectly. Is that possible also when it comes to emotions and so on?
Well, that happens all the time, unfortunately. Unfortunately, there's a lot of healing that doesn't happen well. In grief, we call it complicated grief, when the person isn't actually progressing, when 6 months, a year has gone by, and yet they're still weepy, they're still caught up thinking the same thoughts and going through the same questions in their mind. They haven't really taken their life back and reasserted what their life is about and redefined who they are and what their life is about. And those people, they can look on the surface like everything is okay, but or sometimes not, but they might have a lot of trouble finding another relationship. They might say to you, I'm never interested in dating again. And you'll be like, really? Because you're a young person. Why would you possibly say that? Well, it's just not for me. And of course it's for them. They haven't healed, and so they're just so risk-averse because they're still hurting, and they're not even admitting it to themselves fully. So, unfortunately, you can heal incorrectly, emotionally, in all kinds of ways, and like when you do so physically, if your leg doesn't set right, you're going to have a limp.
Yeah, okay.
It's and it's going to slow you down.
Absolutely. So the book's called How to Fix a Broken Heart. There's also a TED Talk if you want to go on to the TED Talk app or onto YouTube. You can watch Guy give his talk there, and one called How to Practice Emotional First Aid with Guy Winch on TED Talk. That's from a few years ago now. And but also the book's available if you go to our website, which is tre.radio. You can click on our bookshop banner there and order the book Guy Winch, How to Fix a Broken Heart. Thank you, Guy, for coming on. And
thank you very much for having
me. I'm sure it's going to be really useful for a lot of people out there. So thank you for your time, Guy.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.